So last week, Dave kicked us off with the introduction to the series that we're starting, What's Your Excuse? And it's an overview of the story of Moses at the burning bush. And it's to take a look into not only the excuses that Moses made, but the excuses that we often make in our own lives to not do the things that God has called us to do. And while Dave gave the overview leading up to the excuses last week, I feel it's imperative that we kind of touch on them real quick because there's a couple points I want to make before I get into the excuse. So around the time that David was born, the Israelites were in slavery and they were increasing in numbers, and Pharaoh was afraid of the numbers that they were increasing in, so he had put out an order for all the male children to be killed. But the midwives made up an excuse so that way they wouldn't be killed, and because of this, God blessed them as well. So when Moses was born and his mother saw that he was a child, that he was a male and he was a good, healthy child, she hid him for 3 months until she could no longer hide him. After this, she puts him in a basket, she hides him away in the basket, and she floats him down the river, at which point Pharaoh's daughter finds him in the weeds. And she orders Moses' sister to go get him. So she goes and gets him and asks if Pharaoh's daughter would like a midwife from the Hebrew children to take care of him, which she permits, and he ends up getting taken back to his actual birth mother. When Moses grows up a little bit, when he's weaned, the birth mother takes him back to Pharaoh's daughter, and Moses is raised in the household of Pharaoh. This is important as we begin to get into the excuses. It is often thought that Moses did not know that he was an Israelite. But the way that I read the scripture says that when Moses looked out at his people and he saw the plight of his people, which would tell me that Moses knew from the beginning who he was. But he sees an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite and he slays the Egyptian to protect his people. And he hides him in the sand, which lets me know that Moses knows that what he did was wrong. The next day he comes out, he sees two Hebrews fighting amongst each other. And when he goes to separate the argument, they respond to him, "Who are you? Are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian?" Now Moses knows he's been found out. Moses flees, and he flees into the land of Midian. He saves some Midianite women at the well who were being harassed by the men. And for this, their father is pleased with Moses and allows Moses to stay with them and gives him one of his daughters to wed. At this point in time in the scripture says that Moses was content to stay with the man. This is the first point I want to make today. God will call you out of your contentment if your contentment is not based off of God. Moses had found contentment in a land that was not meant for him. He had found contentment amongst the people that worshiped a God that was not his God. Have you ever noticed as you go about in your life, it is oftentimes that when you find yourself at a comfortable point and you think that things are going smooth, that all of a sudden something gets shaken up in your life and that contentment gets broken and you find yourself into turmoil. The Bible goes on to say that Pharaoh had died and a new Pharaoh had been appointed. And at this point in time, God heard the cry of the Israelites, which brings me to my second point. God will step in when the timing is right. See, God must have known that the old Pharaoh would have had no love for Moses. See, while he may have permitted his daughter to keep and raise Moses, the truth is that kings only love and value their direct bloodline. Moses would have never been family in the eyes of the original Pharaoh, but he would have been brought up as something like a brother to the new Pharaoh, which would have formed a type of bond and relationship which would have allowed him to step into God's purpose for him without direct danger. So Moses is still with the Midianites, and he's out in the field, and he's tending the sheep. And as he's walking on the mountain, he notices a burning bush. Which brings me to my third point. God will set something on fire in your life to get your attention, to call you out of hiding from who you are supposed to be into the purpose of who he made you to be. I've often wondered what the story would have been if Moses had chosen to ignore the bush. What happens if Moses never has this conversation that he's getting ready to have with God? What happens if Moses never steps into his purpose and leads the children of Israel out of Egypt? Would God have chosen to have called another? Would God have killed him? What would the story be? I'm thankful that we don't know, because Moses did turn aside and he did go to the bush. And this is where we will pick up in the scripture. It's from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 7 through 12. It reads, "Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard the cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" See, Moses, because of the things that had happened, and because of the things that Moses had been through, Moses has fallen victim to what we like to call the imposter syndrome. Moses spent the first 40 years of his life as an Egyptian, learning to speak, walk, talk, and be an Egyptian. Moses had learned how to be everything opposite than who he was. Even when Moses flees, he spends another 40 years of his life in the wilderness with the Midianites, worshiping a Midianite god, learning how to talk, walk, and speak like a Midianite. For all intents and purposes, Moses was not who Moses should have been. So when Moses asked God the question, "Who am I?" you would stop to think that it is valid. But Moses has fallen prey to the same thing that we often fall prey to in our own daily lives. See, Moses thought he was the sum of the things that he had done. He did not realize that he is actually the sum of who God has called him to be. I can speak from this from firsthand experience, because I often struggle with the same thing myself. You guys know, as I have talked many times, is the struggle that I had of questioning myself as I came into the ministry. And I had thought for a while that as I started to preach and I got more comfortable with it, that I had gotten past those things. But a couple of weeks ago, I found myself in Pennsylvania, and I was preaching at a church that my father pastored. It was actually the place that I was born at. It was the first church that I had ever experienced in my life. And prior to taking the pulpit, a spirit came over me that began to question, who was I to stand where my father had stood? Who was I to stand where great men prior to me had stood and try to preach the word to people that already knew the word? Not only did they know the word, they had heard it from people that could preach better than me. But the thing I found out in that moment is that what those people had done in their lives was irrelevant to what God had called me to do. My purpose was still assured because God had called me to it. I was not the sum of the things that I had done in my past that had landed me into prison. I was not the sum of the things that I had done in my past that had taken me away from the road that my father was on. What I was the sum of the man who God had created me to be in that moment. See, if Moses had ever stopped to look back at his life, Moses would have never have asked the question, "Who am I?" Because Moses would have understood from the beginning that everything that God had sent him through had designed him for the purpose that God had set forth for. "Not only did I protect you when you were a child, you are one of the few males that survived from the children of Israel that should not have survived. Not only did I do that, but I raised you up in the household of the king that I would need you to be able to speak to. Not only did I do that, I protected you from the first king so that way you could make it to this point. Yet you ask me, who am I? I allowed you to go into the wilderness with the Midianites and learn a different culture. But not just that, I allowed you to become a shepherd, to learn the qualities that you needed to learn so you could become the leader that I needed you to be. And yet you ask me, who am I? We ask these questions of God all the time when we are called to our purpose. Who am I that I should do these things? We fail to look back over our lives to see who God has called us to be. We are not the sums of the things that we have done. We are the sum of what we are called to. The question becomes, will you acknowledge your burning bush? Or will you hide behind the imposter syndrome of thinking that you are not enough because society says you are not enough? Moses became what the Israelite asked of him when he asked him, who are you that you should speak to us? He adopted the personality that the world had placed on him. He adopted the name that had been given to him by somebody other than his God. He became who others wanted him to be, avoiding who God had called him to be. But the most important thing when it comes to imposter syndrome happens after Moses asks God, who am I? God answers Moses. He doesn't tell Moses who he is. What he says to Moses is, but I will walk with you. We struggle with imposter syndrome. Who we are is actually not as important as who God is. When you're walking in this life and you're seeking to find your purpose and you still are not sure who you are, if you know who God is, your walk is assured and true. There is nothing that you cannot accomplish as long as you know who you are accomplishing it for. I've gone through a lot of situations lately. I had a lot of thinking that I had to do last night about the way that I have approached the calling that God has put on my life. See, while I was preaching last night, I began to have chest pains. So after I got done preaching, I went to the hospital. And my blood pressure was 200 over 104. They got my blood pressure down from the top side, but my bottom side continued to rise, and they ended up having to give me nitro to keep me from a stroke point. I was afraid. I was afraid that I would never get the opportunity to walk into my purpose. I was afraid that maybe I had spent too much time avoiding my burning bush. I was afraid that maybe the things that I had done in my life I was paying for at that moment in time, and that I actually wasn't who God had called me to be, and that I would never get the opportunity to become that. But something happened. People began to pray. My daughter began to pray. And she told me, Daddy, I prayed out loud for the first time in my life. And I asked him just to bring you back home safe. I think about my situations. I think about how often I put things off because I'm afraid that somebody will call me out because of who I've been over my journey. I think about how often I am afraid to step into responsibilities that I have at Engage Newark because I have fear that somebody might find out something from my past that I have done. I think about the fear that I have had in opening Powerline Ministries because I am afraid that somebody will find out something from my past that I have not spoken about. And it will destroy everything that God has started to put in play. It is then and only then that I need to stop and ask myself, who am I? Who am I to think that the things that I've done in my past are greater than the power of God to take me into my future? Who am I to think that the things that I procrastinate over are greater than the timing that God has called for his kingdom? Who am I to think that I have the right to question God about who I am. There's somebody in here today who's been struggling with the same things as I struggle with. You question if, because of the things in your past, sometimes even the things in your presence, if you have the right to sit in the presence of God. You question whether God will place a calling or put a miracle on your life because of who you have been or who you may even think you are today. But I come here to tell you today that God does not call perfect. God calls brokenness. God calls addiction. God calls those who people do not think have anything to do with him. And he turns them into beautiful vessels meant solely for his glory. These are the things that God accomplishes while we struggle with our own imposter syndrome. We cannot be imposters to God. He made us for a purpose. He designed us for a reason. He knows who we are from the beginning. He knows who we will be in the end. So when you feel doubts in yourself, look back over your life and the things that God has brought you through that has made you into the person that you are today. Do not doubt what he has called you to. Trust, believe in him. Know that he is walking with you, and do it. Let us pray. Father, I come to you today, thanking you for strengthening me in a time of need. Thanking you for speaking to me and allowing me to deliver your word to your people. But now I ask that you, Father, for any in the building that are feeling a little unsure of themselves as they walk with you, strengthen them and assure them that not only are you walking by their side, you are carrying them through their tests and their trials. But not just that they have tests and trials, but that their tests and trials are for a reason of building them to become the person that you mean for them to be. Help us all to walk in your purpose. Help us all to walk in your image. Help us all to display your light. All these things, everything I pray, in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen.